And coming up on the line now, our good friend Dan Klaskins. We know Dan has been with us all season long talking fantasy football. Dan is the host of the Fantastics on Sirius XM Radio. He also has the Get Sports Info podcast. He's a ranker and writer for Pro Football Focus Fantasy. I got that right there. Too many Fs. And he joins us every week at this time to kind of go over some ideas, some tips, and some suggestions for you to set up your fantasy football lineup. So how are you doing this morning, Dan?
How are we doing today, fellas? Happy Friday.
Same to you. Hey, most teams are pretty much coming up on their trade deadlines and stuff. And I wanted to go, first of all, do you have any kind of general rule on how to deal with trades? And not no specific players per se, but just how to deal with trades.
Well, I mean, first of all, I think that you need to look not just at your needs, but at the other side of that, right? Know what the other people in your league need as well, what their strengths, what their weaknesses are. Because nobody wants to lose in a trade. So, but at the same time, I mean, in a good trade, there's actually ways where both teams get what they need, right? Mm-hmm. I often see a lot of guys just waste time of people with trade offers that are just ridiculous and totally one-sided. So put yourself in somebody else's shoe. You definitely want to do that. I think also now that the bye weeks are over, you don't need as much depth. So you don't want to get rid of all your depth, but taking away from some of that depth on your team at positions of strength to get improve there in areas of weaknesses often is what does it. And the other thing to factor in as well is the schedules ahead. Know who these guys are playing. There are certainly some players that have much more favorable matchups down the stretch than others.
Any particular players right now, maybe people might want to target in a trade, and I realize it's all different for each league, but you know, kind of maybe a buy low kind of guy that might kind of come out of nowhere later on, or somebody that might benefit you down the road?
Oh yeah, I mean, I have, actually it's funny because that was the very topic in my podcast this week, the Get Sports Info podcast there at GetSportsInfo.com, is I did identify quite a few trade targets by position. I'll tell you one guy that's really standing out to me is Philip Lindsay of the Broncos. And yeah, I know Royce Freeman's coming back this week, and obviously Devontae Booker's a crowded backfield, but all season long to me, pretty much Philip Lindsay's been the guy. He's actually got double-digit fantasy points every single game he's played, except the one where he got thrown out for punching somebody early in the game. But you look at that schedule ahead, and not only is it Lindsay electrifying, but in the weeks of 14 through 16 specifically, where that's where the fantasy playoffs are, and even in week 13, starting with the matchup against the Bengals, week 14, the 49ers, the Browns in week 15, and the dream matchup of the Raiders in week 16 makes him a guy. I look at Alex Collins, another running back I like a lot. He's had a very tough slate over the past month. He's been a lot touchdown dependent, but especially if Lamar Jackson actually ends up taking over a quarterback down the stretch, I think that dual threat running ability, their lanes are going to be there. Dak Prescott's a guy I've identified at the quarterback position that I like quite a bit. And that receiver, I know it's a little late after last night's performance, but all week long on that list, Doug Baldwin, a guy that is really somebody I've identified, scored his first touchdown of the season last night, finally getting healthy, and I think down the stretch will click very much with Russell Wilson.
Yeah, you were mentioning eyeing the schedule when you're making trades, and you also just made a reference to week 14 to 16. I was wondering if that's maybe a specific thing, if a team is fairly certain to make the playoffs, if you would, making a trade, if you would just really look at what these players are going to play like in this, you know, looking ahead for the playoffs, 14, 15, and 16, would that make a difference in you making a trade?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, first of all, I'm not going to be clear. I mean, if I really like a player and I feel like I'm getting him without giving up stuff that's on my team, I mean, I will overlook a tough schedule to take that player because great players even perform wonderful in a great match and bad matchup sometimes. So, but you're right. Absolutely. I'm definitely, if I'm feeling good about the playoffs, I'm you know, looking like I'm locked in there. I don't know, Matt. I'm focused on, and it's different in every league. I'm using generically weeks 14 through 16 because that is the majority of leagues usually do their playoffs. Hopefully your league's not playing in week 17 because those are often some dicey situations. But that is a critical part. And I'll add to it, you also might look at not just the schedule, but for certain positions like kickers, for instance, you know, looking ahead to getting guys in domes. I don't want – I went Cody Parkey there at Soldier Field in wintry conditions in December, kicking 50-yard field goals as much as maybe a guy playing in a dome like a Will Lutz or something for the Saints.
Dan, we had a tough injury this Sunday. Cooper Kupp went down with the torn ACL. Tough injury for the news or for the Rams, and really tough injury for a lot of fantasy owners out there. Now the question is about the replacement for Kupp. I mean, Josh Reynolds is the first guy that comes to mind. What's his upside going forward in this Rams offense, or is there maybe another guy on this Rams depth chart that you like going forward that could hopefully sort of replace Cooper Kupp's production?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I definitely think that it's a big loss for the Rams. I think Cooper Kupp is the receiver that Jared Goff's most comfortable with, and for Cooper Kupp, it's just a devastating blow because this guy was easily a wide receiver too. But that said, you're right. Josh Reynolds, probably from a fantasy perspective, the guy to get the biggest bump up here. We're anticipating him to play in the three receiver sets. He certainly has some big play ability. That said, he also has a very low floor. So this week, in a game where I fully expect 60-plus points to be put on the board between those two teams, Reynolds could have some fantasy value. Other weeks, though, he could burn you as well. I think from the Rams' perspective, you're going to see a lot of guys get a little bit more involved, including their tight ends, Gerald Everett, Tyler Higbee, to take in some of those targets. So I don't know if it all goes to one guy. I still love Jared Goff. The big winners here to me, the uptick we're going to give Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks, who I think are both wide receiver one, certainly this week and in most weeks moving forward.
Dan, I want to stick with a wide receiver position group here, and I want to go to Tampa Bay. And how do you dissect this receiving core? I mean, you have Mike Adams, Anno Humphries has played well over the past few weeks, Chris Godwin, DeSean Jackson, O.J. Howard, Cameron Bray, all those guys are all options for Ryan Fitzpatrick. How do you dissect this receiving core? Is there two guys that you just love, or do you think all these guys will continue to produce each week in, week out?
It's a passing game that, quite frankly, has an amazing ceiling at times, but also scares the death out of me, and it's starting at the quarterback position. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick is certainly capable of putting up some big numbers here, especially when he's playing on the other side of that terrible, leaky Bucs defense. But he's also in danger of getting benched at any point and back in favor of Jameis Winston. So rolling him out makes it scary. And then trying to figure out what receiver you like is even tougher in this team. I think DeSean Jackson is probably the best value receiver here. You're playing DFS or daily because he has the capability of leading the team. You're right, Adam Humphries is coming on, but I can't trust him. Godwin's dinged up with an ankle issue, so he's falling down my board. And Mike Evans is boom or bust. He hasn't even finished as a wide receiver four, which what that means, basically, he hasn't finished. He's basically been in that like the top 40, but you know, wide receiver four, when I say that, I'm talking about a player outside the top 36, inside the top 50 in weekly finishes. He's only done that. You know, he's been in that range four of his last six games, so this guy is capable of being the best receiver on any given week or capable of completely letting you down. O.J. Howard's really the name in the passing game I feel most comfortable with. Cameron Brate, not really an option in anything less than 14-team leagues. I think he's droppable.
We have a lot of receiver questions this week, Dan, and I want to go talk about these rookie receivers, specifically Anthony Miller from the Bears, Cortland Sutton from the Broncos, and Christian Kirk from the Cardinals. If you're looking at a player, if owners are looking at players, you know, who can they buy low? I think of these rookie receivers. Who do you like going forward out of this bunch? Or is there another rookie receiver? Maybe Tre'Quan Smith you can throw in there from the Saints. What rookie receivers do you like that people can go out there and possibly buy low on to end the year out?
Well, if you're playing for this year, I think it's really hard to count on any of these guys. They're rookies. They're inconsistent. I think some of them are overvalued. Some of them are a little undervalued. And Anthony Miller is probably the guy that I have the most confidence with, and that's pretty much where I stood beginning the season. But as you guys know, I mean, there are weeks where he disappears. I really like what he's doing, though, and he seems to be getting better. So I also like DJ Moore. I think Torrey Smith has been finally weeded out there in Carolina. He was the first receiver taken in the draft, and a guy that his role was increasing every week of the season here in Carolina. In terms of some of those other guys, I mean, Tre'Quan Smith, I mean, he's just flat out had some weeks where he's missing, and he's not getting enough target volume to be there. Christian Kirk, probably the most underrated name on the list. I think, especially with Arizona often playing from behind. I don't know if he'll be playing from behind this week against the Raiders, but he's actually been one of the more productive rookie receivers. He's hardly getting talked about. And I think DJ Chark, you're talking about a guy that hasn't done anything yet that we could see some glimpses of down the stretch. he's rising up that Jacksonville depth chart, and I anticipate him to make a splash before it's all said and done.
Eric Ebron this year probably has been the biggest fantasy surprise at the tight end position. 10 touchdown reception, or I guess 9 touchdown receptions, 10 total touchdowns this year so far. Eric Ebron has been phenomenal fantasy-wise. Do you see this production keeping up going forward? Can he get more than possibly, let's say, 15 touchdowns this year?
Well, there's no doubt Andrew Luck likes looking for him near the goal line. His snap percentage and targets are well beneath what we're seeing from his teammate Jack Doyle when the two are on the field together, but it's Ebron scoring the touchdowns. He got 2 more touchdowns last week, even rushed for a touchdown.
Yes, he did. One.
He leads all tight ends right now with 9 receiving scores on the season. He certainly could get another 4 to 6 down the stretch, but you know, that said, if he does, he's very touchdown dependent. So he's gobbling up touchdowns, but without the touchdowns, the targets aren't there. That's actually been more of his teammate, Jack Doyle. He continues to see a decent volume in the Colts passing game, but you know, 3 TDs in week 10, as I said, for Ebron, but Doyle played 53 snaps compared to Ebron's 21 in the contest. So Doyle is basically on the field twice as much, running twice as many routes, getting more targets on a weekly basis, but well being outperformed because of the difference there at the goal line.
Dan, I'm going to ask you kind of a general question again, like I asked earlier. You know, so many factors going into when you're setting your lineup for any on a week-to-week basis. And among other things besides just how the player himself, but like the weather, whether it's an indoor-outdoor stadium, maybe the defense you're facing a team that's known to be poor in the run defense and all that kind of stuff, or maybe just a particular player's on a hot streak. What are some of these strategies that people use do you think are the most underrated or maybe the most overrated, that it's not really that big a factor? Like, is weather really that big a factor?
Well, I mean, there's no doubt. Weather makes people question things more than anything else. But, I mean, they're all variables that are worthy of consideration. Everything you just rolled through there, are, you know, these are things you got to think about. I think how much you overthink things. And in terms of weather, I mean, most fantasy owners aren't certified meteorologists, a lot of us think we are, but to me, and this comes from playing football, and not that I was that great of a player, but I played enough of years to know that the offensive players have an advantage when there's elements on the field, whether it be muddy fields, snow, things like that, so they know where they're going. The defensive players do not, so I think that's a big thing, but really it's the winds more than any of the other elements. You know, you get into the cold temperatures or there's, you know, tons of snow coming down. It's really about the wind, and the higher and more persistent and consistent those winds are during the game, I think it doesn't impact the passing game, certainly impacts the kicking game. And it also helps defenses. It's a very savvy move. I remember a couple years back, I can't remember the exact game. I remember it was in Buffalo. And as I was doing my Sunday game day show, I mean, the weather, I mean, suddenly they had a blizzard. And, you know, you switch to the Bills defense all of a sudden, as you know, the team defenses, when you get in those conditions where, okay, it's going to be hard to put points on the board, these actually end up being some sneaky plays down the stretch. But NFL BFS Weather on Twitter, a good friend of mine and a must follow this time of year because of their fantasy-specific weather-related forecasting.
That's awesome. Okay, well, let's give us our top who to sit and who to play now, run down the quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, and tight ends.
Yeah, I mean, this week, one of my favorite players of the whole week is David Johnson. We'll start at the running back position there, and rightfully so. I mean, they've got the matchup everybody wants. That's going up against those Raiders. And you look at how good that matchup has actually been. It's interesting to see that, most cases, there's not just one, but 2 running backs that are having that success there. And David Johnson, if you want to talk about success, really getting it done of late as well. I think he's had now 3 straight games of 100-plus total yards. He's scoring since Byron Leftwich took over there as the play caller, doing some big things. But at the quarterback position, I'm going to keep rolling out Andrew Luck. I think even Marcus Mariota is a very sleeper quarterback in that matchup there between those two teams. Matthew Stafford, he's been sitting on my pine. He's staying there. I'll add Kirk Cousins to that list this week. I think that matchup against the Bears is going to be a very tough one. The running back position, we talked a little bit about Alex Collins as a guy to trade for. I love him this week against the Bengals. I also think we'll keep our eyes on what happens with Deion Lewis. I think, you know, we talked just before about that matchup. I'm going to sit Jordan Howard, fellas. He's TD or bust, and he's had a little bit of run of success for there. Maybe he burned me last week too much in that game against the Lions. I'm still having a tough time getting over. We're going to keep throwing Amari Cooper out there. I think Kenny Galladay is a good receiver to start, especially if Marvin Jones sits in that matchup against the Panthers. Michael Crabtree is on my bench list there at receiver. I mean, the Bengals defense has been brutal, but the quarterback question is who's going to start? Is probably not going to be Joe Flacco. Lamar Jackson's been sick, so I think RG3 could be making his season debut there. And then
it's a blast from the past.
Yeah, blast from the past indeed. I'm starting Austin Hooper if you need a tight end this week. And not really feeling Jordan Reed. He had 1 week the entire season at tight end where he finished inside the top 12, making him a startable option. And that was back in week one, fellas. He's averaging 4.1 targets a game, and that's not enough for fantasy success.
All right, well, that's Dan Klass. It's always great stuff. We really appreciate it, Dan. I'll get ready for week 11 now, are we? So it's really flying by here. Dan's the host of Fantastics on Sirius XM. You can listen to him on Saturday. You also got the Get Sports Info podcast and, of course, Pro Football Focus Fantasy. I still can't
see
it. There we go. And, again, find all this information if you go to his Twitter page at Dan Klaskins. Dan, thank you again for so much for your help, and we look forward to talking to you next week, day after Thanksgiving.